Father, I just pray right now that you, thank you, Jesus. I just pray right now, Lord, that you just speak peace to every heart. Lord, we just cast all of our cares on you tonight. Lord, we just lock our faith in that we're going to have God's best. We are going to have God's best. We are going to have God's best. And we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Importation, actually, that's what we did Friday week ago, and then the following last Wednesday night, we had, I can stand up, it's just, let me rest a little while, because I'm going to be, we would be ministering here a little while. Every once in a while, I like the luxury of that, but I thank God my legs are stronger, getting stronger all the time. You get to sit down, I get to sit down for a while, you know. Turnabout fair play. I don't like to do that for long, but every once in a while, that's good. I've been going full throttle since 5:45 this morning. It's been a very busy day. I did rest for 30 minutes, and that was very timely. And I feel very good tonight. There's a faith level in this room. There really is. But you see, an importation is simply this. It's not only a laying on of hands, but it's anointed communication, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Grace. I'm going over some of the same ground that I went over Sunday morning. I appreciate the respect. I don't know when I've had as much feedback on a message as I had Sunday morning as we ministered on the power of faith thinking. Your thoughts and your faith are vitally tied together. But it's anointed communication. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing not by what your best friend said, not by what the denomination said, not by what Dr. whatever his name was on the radio said or the television, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've believed in it so strongly for years, and it seems, you know, God brings certain doctrines to the forefront. I remember back years ago when we were downtown, and God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to do a series on hope. And that's when we went on Channel 11, and a precious lady of this church came up, and she was holding a $50,000 check, and she said, Pastor, God wants us to go on television. I said, you don't understand how much it costs to go on television. She said, God wants us to go on Channel 11. I said, well, maybe this lady's heard from God. Amen. Well, maybe she has heard from God. We checked into it, and the most impossible, they're somewhere hidden in the archives around here. I don't know where that series is, but we've come through tornadoes and fires and everything else around here. But long story short, we not only went on Channel 11 right after First Methodist Church, and believe me, they needed us after them. Boy, I'd love to have John and Charles Wesley back and let them preach. I mean, those guys had the fire of God, those old revivalists. But we went for 6 months. I went as long as we had money to go. And you talk about relying on God in a supernatural way. I'm not a director, but I had to direct it. God gave us a couple, a husband and wife. They had two cameras, and so help me, they worked those two cameras downtown in that First Baptist Church auditorium that, you know, that we purchased and were there those years. They worked those two cameras. You'd have thought we had four or five or six cameras. They were very good at what they did. And it was amazing. God gave us the material for a series on hope. There is hope. I said, there is hope. You know, hope's the thermostat, but the furnace is the fire. You know, it brings it in. And I had some faith people at that time said, well, Pastor's left faith. He's off on this hope thing. And I didn't say it as loudly as I say it nowadays, but it's all of it, honey. You say, what truth's the most important? What you need and when you need it. That's the most important truth. There's times you desperately need hope. You know, with Paul, all hope was gone that they could be saved. All hope was gone. But Paul didn't buy into that. And God brought him through the storm. So there's a time when God emphasized hope. And then there was a time of a strong time of word confession. And that's still real. That confessing the word of God is still real. Speaking to the mountain, speaking to the difficulty is still real. Our life, Joe and I, our life was forever changed by the life of Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin and his wife as they came where we are associate pastors. We sat in their little 18 or 20-foot travel trailer with an Oldsmobile with worn-out tires. Between meetings, the tires said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Brother Hagin had one or was it two books in print. He was trying to borrow $1,500. My brother-in-law finally found a source for Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin for $1,500 to publish his third book. Of course, when he passed away, he's probably got 200, I guess, at least. But Dr. Hagin poured into us. I've always been full gospel. My mother saw to that, you know. Every time the sun would rise or the sun would set. I mean, that's just the way we lived around our house, full gospel. But God poured into my heart the true word of faith. Someone asked me the other day, are we a faith church? Honey, what else is there? The just shall live by faith. That's what Habakkuk says. That's what Romans says. That's what Galatians says. That's what Hebrews says. The just shall live by faith. You're saved by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But none of it's going to happen without faith. We are faith people. Hebrews 11 is men and women who dared to have faith in God, and God honored their faith. So faith is important. Now there's been a real emphasis on grace, and I get so amused. Some people are like children. They don't think. You know, and now the only truth in the world is grace. Honey, it's all of it. It's all of it. And as I've often said, the bird flies with two wings. And if you see a bird flying with one wing, I want to know what you're sniffing or what you're on. It takes two wings for a bird to fly, and they do it very well. One wing is faith, and the other wing is grace. Amen. Grace provides, but faith obtains. Grace provides, but faith obtains. Amen. And here's the thing about it, and then I'll move on, but write this down. This will help you. Grace is a constant. God's deposited money in your bank called grace, and if you never write a check on it, you'll die with it in the bank, unused. God has already made provisions for every born-again believer to have grace. It's on deposit in the bank. It's like faith. It's also like faith. Someone said, well, just pray that I'll have faith. You've got faith, you lazy thing. Start using it. Every born-again believer has faith. You have a measure of faith. Well, they said, well, people just don't know anything about the Spirit. There's people that don't have the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they've got a measure of the Spirit. And it's amazing how God has used, he's used some of them with their limited understanding more than he has some that think they have full understanding. If you don't lose, if you don't use it, you lose it. But I'll tell you what's happening around here. We're cranking up. We're going to use what God has given us. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. But you see, grace is a constant. Grace is a constant. It's in the bank whether you ever write a check on it or not. God's willingness to give you his best even though you don't deserve it. I think Charles Capps said that many years ago. And my wife had another explanation. I believe it came out of the doctor of the Greek New Testament. I don't have that one before me. But grace is a constant. Grace is a constant. But greater faith is a daily pursuit. Write that down now. Amen. I'd rather you write it than shout it right now, because I want you to get a hold. Grace is a constant, but greater faith is a daily pursuit. And it's amazing how many so-called born-again, spirit-filled believers have such little power in their lives. It's amazing how many people go to church but don't have enough power in their life to blow a match out or light one, one of the two. Grace is a constant. You have grace. You have faith. But greater faith. The Bible definitely teaches us. Mark 11 is about greater faith. You're moving to a higher level. I said you're moving to a higher level. I said we're moving to a higher level. Amen. Grace is a constant, but greater faith is a daily pursuit. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Well, I'm into grace. I don't have to do nothing about nothing. And how deceived you are, if anyone would say that. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why you don't just listen to the Word of God on Sunday, close your Bible and open it and blow the dust off on Saturday and come to church every other Sunday. This thing's a daily pursuit, folks. We're in the end time. I said we're in the end time, and the spirit of Antichrist is more evident today than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. It's in our educational system. It's in our politics. It's all over the land. Never have we seen the rebellion and the craziness. And I know we've had rebellion before. Sure, I remember the Vietnam era and other times too. But we're living in a time, you know, except for the grace of God, we're just that far away from a total rebellion and war here in America. Now, I'm not going negative, but I'm talking to you. You say, why do you emphasize that? Because there's only one answer to the mess our nation is in and the mess our nation has let itself get into because of bad leadership. There's only one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There's only one answer. We've got the greatest, still with all of our craziness, we have the greatest nation on the face of this earth. And you only have to cross over the border into Mexico. And God bless Mexico and God bless Canada, whatever. But you just have to go somewhere else. As sophisticated as Canada seems to be. I'll tell you, I'm glad when I get back in America. Thanks be unto God. But he that cometh to God, I hope you're tracking with me. Hebrews 11 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I'd never checked out that word diligently, but the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, before the weekend, I've never had so much heaven and so much hell in one day as I encountered. My Lord God, I was with God for 6 hours, and then I had to deal with some other things. And, you know, it's interesting being a pastor. You don't have any idea sometimes what a pastor goes through before he stands before you or sits before you, comes before you with a smile on his face and says, we're going for it. Amen. God's getting us ready. And God's toughening us up. And thank God all that faith, those faith deposits I've been making for years, I'm stronger in faith today than I've ever been. I'm stronger in true Bible faith than I've ever been. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. You know what that word diligently? That word diligent, let me tell you what the word diligent, those that diligently seek God, it means to search out. It means to study. It means to investigate. It means to crave. I tell you, I crave the Word of God. Hallelujah. It means to demand in an atmosphere of worship. You get in the presence of God, you get on holy ground, and your faith gets red hot. Amen. It means to require. Require. It means to seek after carefully. And it means consistency, constantly. You know, that means that serving God and your Bible, blow the dust off of it. It's your life. It's your life jacket in the midst of the ocean. Praise God. He that cometh to God must believe not only that he is, but that he is a rewarder. God rewards people that get into his word. I said God rewards people that get into the word of God. I want to say it again. God rewards people that get into his word. They just discovered a young man over in Plano who was planning on killing, I don't know how many they estimated, the FBI and the local police got into. And they said, we just don't understand what's getting into these Muslim folks. Honey, let me explain it to you real easy. No, come on now. They got the wrong God, they got the wrong church, and they got the wrong Bible. How many heard what I said? And if you got the wrong God and the wrong church and the wrong Bible, you wrong. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And I love those people. I mean, I love them. I don't hate them at all. We can't hate anybody. We love them. But what I'm saying is they are diametrically opposed to everything you sit in this chapel representing tonight. The very reason you're here, they say you're infidels. No, you got it in reverse. Amen. Praise God. So, and I'm not being mean-spirited, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You see, that young man, if they had not discovered him, he had visions of grandeur in some way of this explosive, getting the drop on a policeman, making him drop his gun, throw gasoline on him, and set a policeman on fire in the process of all. Isn't that beautiful? When we just got through with a funeral over in Dallas where 3,000 people came out to mourn a precious law enforcement officer who lost his life a few days ago. Now, why is that important? We better wake up, folks. We're in the end time. It's no longer precious memories time. It's no longer sleepy time. It's no longer, well, I'll go to church if I feel like it. I know it's more than going to church. You got to know the God of the church, and you got to know His Bible. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah! Now, with that, I want to just give you what God. I mean, God gave this to me, and Lord, I thought I was going to blow the lid off the house there, and everybody was asleep, and I had to behave myself a little bit. This is basic. Basically what I spoke on Sunday morning, the power of faith thinking, the power of faith thinking. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, so is we, so are we. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to say that. You may think that. But that came out of your spirit. I don't know what made me say that. I'll tell you, Diablo made you say that. Amen. Now let me give you what God spoke to my heart. You will never rise far above your thought life. Your faith will never rise far above your thought life. Your faith will never rise far above your thought life. It just makes me nervous when someone gives a great truth and I'm trying to write it down and they've already gone three more truths. I want you to get everything I'm talking about now. You'll never, your faith will never rise far above your thought life. You've got to rein your thoughts in line with the Word of God. And I don't know of two any more perfect illustrations of that than Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which says, think on these things. Well, no one's going to tell me what to think. That's not what the Word of God. The Word of God says, think on these things. Now, number two, I hope you wrote that first one down. Your faith will never rise far above your thought life. Another insight is the battle is in the mind. I know we're spirit beings. We're saved and our spirits are brand new. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. But the battle is in the mind. Evangelist David Nunn was the first one I ever heard make this statement. We traveled with him in the Voice of Healing a number of years ago. And David Nunn used to sell pencils on the streets of downtown Dallas. Sell pencils. You don't make much money selling pencils. Just common pencils. It's all he knew to do. And I won't go into, he had had some mental challenges and whatever. David Nunn became born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and somebody got him into faith. And that man's life and his mind and his ministry, God called him into the ministry, went all over the world preaching the gospel of Christ. From selling pencils on the streets of downtown Dallas to a salvation healing Holy Ghost tent preacher, auditorium preacher who preached all over the world. And he said the thing that changed his mind was when he realized the battle is in your mind. You got to get a rein in on stinking thinking. For as we think in our hearts, so are we. You say, well, how do I get rid of that? Well, we'll deal with that in just a moment, but I'll tell you one thing. Every time a thought comes that you know is not of God, don't roll over and play dead, or don't roll over and do it. Just say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God gave me power over all the power of the enemy, and I speak from my spirit, and Satan, I command you, get out of my mind, get out of my life, go back to the pit from which you came. Every time you try to come back, I'll send you back again. The battle is in the mind. You got to stop thinking those old negative thought patterns that have kept you in bondage for years. There was a time, you know, it's amazing how many people, even though they're born again, have a poverty mentality. Amen. Now, I know you need to be smart when you order things in a restaurant, but the way they order a menu is from the right to the left, not from the left to the right. And you better order that way in some restaurants. I understand you might not have enough on your credit card to pay for it. But you understand what I'm saying. You always think the least of everything. Amen. If we can just barely do this, if we can just barely do that, if we just barely do that. You know, when God is a God of supernatural abundance, and I'm not talking about foolishness, I'm talking about just relaxing a little bit and living. Amen. The battle is in the mind. Thirdly, your thoughts can nullify and cancel your faith. You can go to Bible college. You can read Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. You can read Smith Wigglesworth. You can read Hebrews 11 till you wear out the chapter. But your thoughts can and will nullify your faith if they're not God thoughts. That's why so many people, well, I give, but it seemed like I can't get any traction. Well, what about your thoughts about your giving? Do you give joyfully? Do you give happily? Do you give in faith believing? Do you give accurately or do you tip? Do you tip or do you tithe? There's a difference, you know. Amen. Your thoughts can nullify and cancel your faith. I'm telling you how to stop slam dunking against the wall. To leave this chapel tonight on fire for God and never look back. Praise God. What I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Go for it. Go for it. Praise the Lord. You getting anything out of God's word? All right. Your faith is limited to your thoughts. Well, are you preaching mind over matter? No, I'm preaching faith. I'm preaching faith thoughts over your circumstances. Amen. You know, the devils believe and they tremble. They believe. They know the truth about everything. They don't live it and can't live it, but I mean, they know the truth. And they tremble. And they tremble when they see you getting a new grip on what God has said. Because they know they're in for problems. When Jesus sent them out two by two and he sent out the 70 and he sent out others. Listen, when Satan sees people leave a New Testament church and they did more than do the laundry list on their telephone while they were there, they heard the word, they received the word, they let the seed of God's word be implanted in their hearts, and they left believing what God said and rejoicing in the word of God, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, shaking off the unbelief, shaking off the failures of the past, and daring to rise and think and be what God gave his son on the cross of Calvary for you to be. So your faith will never rise far above your thought life. The battle is in the mind. Your thoughts can nullify and cancel your faith. Your faith is limited to your thoughts. Your faith is limited to your thoughts. The word of God said, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in the word day and night. It didn't say thou shalt meditate on thy phone day and night. It didn't say thou shalt meditate on thy television day and night. And I'm going to make a harsh statement. It's getting harder and harder to find preaching and teaching on even Christian television that's really Bible-centered. I was listening to a Christian radio station, and I heard the saddest, most negative, most... My God, I just turned it off. I mean, if I'd turned in and I was ready to jump off a bridge, I'd just gone ahead and done it, you know. Unfortunately, all music on Christian television stations, it caters to the soulish realm. It's not there to build your faith. It's there for kicky sounds. It's there to, the beat. I like the beat. Well, what about the words? What about the words? I like what Brother Dave Hinton says. Give me some word. Give me some word. Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but shall meditate in the word day and night. I couldn't sleep for a while the other night, and I got up and I started to pick up something else. And I mean just that quickly, the Spirit of God said, get in my word. And I got in the word and I got some real goodies that night. Praise God. Day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Well, I thought Pastor Nichols was supposed to do that. No, you do that to yourself. I'm here to encourage you to do that. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. When you give diligent heed to the word of God, and thou shalt have good, lasting success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, well, you're one of those prosperity preachers. Well, I believe in prosperity. Don't you believe in paying your rent on time? Don't you believe in making your car payments on time? Don't you believe in taking care of your finances on time? Don't you believe in staying ahead of the big tow truck, you know? I saw a truck that hauls away payments that aren't made, and it had a big tow on the back. It said, big tow truck. All right, I hope you haven't seen that one. All right. You'll make your way prosperous. God's word will help you to make your way prosperous. Well, I just give and I give, but I just never see any results. Well, if I overheard you say that, I found out why. Amen. Seems like it happens to everybody but me. Start talking faith. Start talking victory. If anybody wins, I'll win. If anybody's going over, I'm going over. If anybody's going to make it, I'll make it. If anybody gets a job, I'll get a job. If anybody gets a raise, I'll get a raise. Start talking victory. Praise be unto God. Philippians 4:2 said, be of the same mind or thoughts in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. That doesn't mean we all drive the same car, live in the same kind of house, or wear the same brand of shoes or the same brand of clothes, but we think the thoughts and we believe the thoughts of God. If God said it, I believe it. Amen. So be of the same mind, Philippians 4:2 said, in the Lord. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. When you start thinking like Jesus, Jesus things begin to start happening in your life. Hallelujah. You start thinking like Jesus, healing things start happening. Prosperity things start happening. And I know, you say, well, I knew someone who was foolish with prosperity. Oh, I know more people that were foolish and prosperous than you ever thought you met. I met some people, I just wanted to slap them on both cheeks. But let me tell you, I remember we had a preacher years ago downtown. He preached for me. I didn't know that's where he's going to be coming from. He just blasted prosperity that night. And we received an offering for him. And he said, well, I hope the church didn't get my offering. And I stood up and I said, I tell you, folks, I just changed direction. Whatever the church offering was and his offering, we'll put them both together and give it to him tomorrow. Well, he kind of stayed quiet on that one. But, you know, 8 o'clock the next morning, he was waiting in line at the office. He wanted his check. He was against prosperity, but he wanted his check. I wouldn't say, well, don't you believe God? You know, where's your faith? You know, you ought to be able to operate an hour or two here. Go get you some breakfast and come back and let our folks count the offering. His church has never taken a minister's offering. What comes in, if we don't like it, we'll add something to it. And there's a lot of offerings. I wish I could add a lot more to it, but we did what we could. We did the best we could there. But you see, it all comes back to this. Have the same mind. Be of the same love. Be in one accord. Be of one mind. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 2, chapter 2, looks like verse 7. I don't know. Fulfill you my joy. Let me say it like this. Make my day. Make my day. That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. We all may not drive the same make of car. Or, we may not always have the same brand of shoes. We're all different in our own way. Amen. But there's one thing we're in agreement with in this room. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that God Almighty is God Almighty, and that's it. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I love to sing that song of affirmation. I believe. I believe. I believe in angels. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell, and thank God I'm not going there. And that's why we go out I like what Mike Warnke said years ago. He's going on to be with the Lord. He's a powerful soul winner. He said, when the rapture takes place, I'm going to grab a sinner in each hand, get up about 30,000 feet, and say, if you don't accept Jesus, I'm going to drop you right now. Mike Warnke. I'll never forget that. Isn't it funny? One thing that somebody said, and you'll remember it the rest of your life. It's kind of interesting. You see, when we think and act on God's word, we think and act like God and His Son, Jesus. When we think and act on God's Word, we think and act like God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, every once in a while I see a little guy, and he acts just like his daddy. I see some sweet little things around. That's what a pastor, I see those things. Isn't it wonderful, isn't it precious, see a little guy, and he's just trying to be just like his daddy. He's so proud of his daddy, walks like his daddy, looks like his daddy, stays close to his daddy. I remember my father, he never was like a judo expert or a boxer or a wrestler, but Dad was a lawyer. We'd go to school and they'd say, well, my father's a boxer, or my father, he knows judo, you know, my father, you mess with me and my father can, you know, kill you. And I said, let me tell you something. You mess with me and my father's a lawyer, he'll sue you and put you in jail. I don't know why. They just look at you kind of funny about that time and leave you alone. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. Finally, what does finally mean? Thank you. Finally, brethren, brothers, sisters, whatsoever things are, is it true? Well, yeah. I asked a guy, I said, are you married? He said, senor. Yeah. You rascal, you're not married. You just shanking. All right. Where was I here? Is it true? Is it true? How many things do you listen to and never give it a second thought? Is this really true? Paul Harvey used to say, a lie be halfway around the world before truth gets out of bed and gets its shoes on. Be sure you're listening to truth and be sure you're telling the truth. Is it lovely? Is it shady? Is it off color? Is it of good report? Is it of good report? The gospel is a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The penitentiary is full of people that thought on the wrong thing and they did the wrong thing. Or they were with another person who was thinking on the wrong thing and did the wrong thing. You know, it's amazing. I think some five times I saw in between Matthew and Luke, Jesus said, think not. Stop it. Don't think like this. Think not. Think not. You know, the Bible, you say, well, no one has a right to tell me what to do. God does. You run that red light, honey, and a mag truck's going to take you out. Think not. Stop it. Jesus also said, what think ye? He knows what we think. And he also asked the question in another part of the Gospels, how think ye? How did you come to that conclusion? Well, I just think. So think not, what think ye, how think ye? Oh, hallelujah. Now let me just try to bring all this together tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can know every principle of faith. You can know every scripture on faith. You can be an expert on everything that Kenneth Copeland wrote and Charles Capps wrote and Smith Wigglesworth wrote and anybody else wrote. You can ace out knowing what the word says, but your thinking can negate your faith if it's not in line together. Amen. That's why so many people are prayed for and something happens temporarily, and it's gone because their thought life overran their faith. Amen. Some people feel so good when they give, and then they get away and say, well, Boy, I could have sure used that tithe to get a new tire for my car, or, you know, I mean, something of that nature. And we negate. Whenever you give, drop it in the bucket and thank God for the privilege and shout and start looking for the overflow. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. All right. Well, what about all this? This the power of faith. Are you getting anything out of the Word of God? Why isn't my faith working in a given area? Because your thought life is negating your faith. I want to say that one more time. Now, I know this isn't shouting ground, but it'll bring a shout. Why isn't your faith working in a certain way? I heard a message on that. I've listened to a CD 20 times. I've read this. I've read the manual. I've heard Andrew Womack. I've heard Kenneth Hagin. I've heard Oral Roberts. I've heard them all. But what's your thoughts? What are you thinking about? You can't have an idle mind of unbelief and have an active life of faith. It just doesn't go together. It just doesn't go together, all right? 1 Corinthians 13:5. The love walk is tied into your thinking, no evil. Your thinking. The love walk. Love never fails, but why are you failing? Because your thoughts aren't in line with the love walk. 1 Corinthians 13:5. I've got a verse coming up here that if you got any shout in you, get ready. Just get your Nikes ready. Praise God. Get your little hanky ready. Praise God. We're headed for higher ground now. 1 Corinthians 13:5. The love walk is tied to thinking no evil. You can't go around thinking evil all the time and the love walk work. Just doesn't work. James, all right. Now, another one. James 1:7. Your thinking affects your answers to prayer. Well, I thought it was all faith. No, it's your faith and your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm speaking of some very profound revelation knowledge here in this room tonight. And it's ministered to me as God gave it to me. And I believe I've gained some ground. I believe I'm on higher ground because of this material here tonight. So your thinking affects your answers to prayer. The Bible said, let not that man think that he will receive. Boy, that was a weak anything I heard out there. Let not that man think or that woman think that they shall receive anything. Let me paraphrase it like this. I believe they receive something, but it's not lasting. Anything that's lasting. Amen. All right. Thirdly, here's another insight. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Your thinking with your faith empowers you to be an overcomer. Your thinking with your faith empowers you to be an overcomer. You can overcome. You can kick the worst habit that ever could even be represented in this chapel tonight. I'd had 2 years of doing my own thing. And it's amazing what a mess you can get your young life into in 2 years' period of time, just letting your thinking run wild and acting like your thoughts. It's the mercy and the grace of God that kept me from getting killed during that 2 years. And it almost happened in the automobile accident. That was my wake-up call from heaven. It was also a wake-up warning from hell. We're ready for you, buddy. I want to go back there. Your thinking with your faith empowers you to be an overcomer. You can overcome any negative, sinful, shady, weak thing that has haunted your life. You may be third generation, but look to the cross, the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Look to the finished work of the cross. Amen. Your thinking with your faith empowers you to be an overcomer. I've crossed in travel, I've crossed two or three things that used to have me in years ago before I got myself settled down as a young person. I know how messed up you can get. Amen. And I was very smooth with it, but not with God. Very smooth with it, but not with God. Amen. And every once in a while I'll cross something, and I thought, well, that's the way it used to be. And you know what? That temptation's not there. The power of that's been broken. Because I just kept saying no to Satan in the name of Jesus. He's a slow learner, but he does finally catch on. Sometimes you have to scream. Sometimes you have to shout. Sometimes you have to shuck up a hoard, yakataya. Whatever you got to do, you tell him to go where he needs to go. There's more than one time in my car I've said, go to hell, Satan. You get yourself back there. You get out of this car. We don't live there anymore. We don't think there anymore. That's not our life anymore. Shila bakataya sakatayatai. Shila bababakatai. I tell you, folks, I have never been. And you know, the beauty of it is, even in the midst of all of our craziness, the grace of God. Do you know why you're in this chapel tonight? It's called grace. It's called amazing grace. You're not here because you aced it all out. You're not here because you're the best sinner that God ever saved. You're here because of the amazing grace of God that kept you alive in the midst of hell's worst belches. All of hell came after you to take you out, but God said, no! You stood your ground, and you're a world-class overcomer, but you still got to stand on the same thing that what gets a plane to 30,000 feet keeps it there. It's the power. It's the power. Well, I've got one more. I don't know if you can handle this or not here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. They get your Holy Ghost hearing aid tweaked, all right? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able. God is able. Say it with me. God is able. To do. Exceeding. Abundantly. Above all that we ask or think. What is the message about tonight? Faith thinking. The power of faith thinking. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. We can ask. You can't, if you're on scriptural ground, you cannot out-ask God. You cannot out-ask God. No way. No way. No way. You cannot out-ask God. You cannot out-think God. You cannot out-think God. I believe it was Sunday morning that I gave this story, but I'm like John Osteen. I want to hear it again myself. I heard his testimony. He was very close to Oral Roberts. His name was Henry Krause. They called him God's plowman. Let me tell you about Henry Krause. Let me tell you about Henry Krause. Henry Krause and his wife were broke, flat broke. Not much was happening in their life. And from the little humble place wherever they were living, it was two rooms or apartment or whatever it was, Henry Krause went to the store. I don't know if it was eggs or bread, you know, just some staple that was needed for their family. And I think he had $10, if I remember his story. On his way to the grocery store, a little grocery store down the street, churches didn't have air conditioning back then, but the windows were open, and they were receiving an offering, and he heard an offering going on. He thought, what's that all about? Went in, really despondent, sat down on the back seat, and they were receiving a missionary offering. Henry Krause took the $10 he was going to buy something for his family, went down, put it in the offering plate. Church is over, went back home. His wife said, where's what you went to the store to get? He said, I put it in the offering. She said, you're kidding. But that night, all we could ask or think, that night, an old brown grocery sack was all the paper they had in that little apartment or room. He had a pencil. He had to sharpen his pencil. God woke him up in the middle of the night and gave him a patent for a plow that International Harvester spent millions of dollars trying to crack that patent, that they couldn't do it. And he was a multi-millionaire when money was money way back when. $10, gave it to Jesus, went back home, but in the middle of the night, and then God acquainted him with someone the next day or so that helped him implement that. He became God's plowman and helped Oral Roberts get the gospel of Christ all over the world. You can't outthink God and you can't out-ask God. You may be down and out. Your back may be against the wall. It may seem like everything is against you. But keep the switch of faith turned on. So the Bible said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. I mean, you say, what does that mean? It means it's so far above you, you can't even identify with it. It means God's so much bigger than your peanut brain, you can't even figure it out. It means God has so much gold, so much power, so much favor, so much influence, God can turn it around. Who you think God is? You think he's a failure? No! All you could ask or think according. No, you haven't heard the whole thing yet. Well, how's all this going to come off? That's a good message you brought, but I mean, I'm still me. No, you don't know what you've got inside you. You don't really know who you are. Hang around this church for a while. We're going to teach you who you are and what you have in Christ. According to the power, the supernatural Acts 1:8 power of God, the power that worketh in you right now. I've never made a statement like this, but God's already made a $1 million deposit in the bank for you. Have you written a $5 check yet on it? I'm not playing games with words tonight. You're listening to a man on fire. You're seeing a spirit on fire tonight. We're coming out of the crud. We're coming out of the rough. We're coming through some of the most challenging days this church has ever faced. I thought tornadoes were bad. I thought fire was bad. But I tell you, crazy people are top it all, top it all. But you know what? God's bringing in people of faith. God's bringing in people of love. God's bringing in people of hope and love and grace and faith. And praise God, those that believe with all of their heart now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis. That's the same dunamis power of Acts 1:8. If you've got a strong concordance, just have fun, stay up all night, and study it out for yourself. I have. Amen. Praise God. Get out of that two-bit thinking. Get out of that hole you're in. Get out of that negative thinking. Start thinking power. We've got the power. We've got the power. We're not going to get the power. We've got the power. The problem is we're not using the power. You've got the power. Now, Dr. Vaughn, would you stand up just for a moment? Now, Charlie, would you stand up beside Dr. Vaughn? Charlie, would you stand up beside Dr. Vaughn? Stand up beside. Does anyone see a difference in the statue of Dr. Vaughn and the statue of Charlie Pryor? Do your eyes show you that she's smaller than he is? Yeah. She has to look up when she talks to Charlie. And Charlie has to look down and see what she's saying. You may sit down. There's no disgrace in being the height of Dr. Vaughn, because she thinks like the tall statue she was standing beside. I dare you to hook into what I'm saying tonight. I dare you. I dare you. You need this more than you need a good night's rest. You need this more than... You guys stand up again. Would you do that one more time? I've never used that kind of an illustration before. Now, let's vote tonight. How many, with your eyes, see that Dr. Vaughn is shorter than Charlie Pryor? How many? Anybody notice that? Well, how many notice that Charlie is taller than she is? All right. Now, I'm going to let you sit down. But you see, Dr. Vaughn, however tall she is a stick of dynamite. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You say, "Oh, I'm called to the world. I'm called to missions. I'm called to the nations." You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You get over on Satan's territory, demons and devils and witch doctors and the belch of hell, and a little short woman goes over there, and Satan goes crazy and says, "Clear out, guys. She's coming our way." She may be short in stature, but she's tall in faith. No, you didn't get that. You're not getting what I'm saying. She may be short in stature, but she's tall in faith. You say, "But I'm just me." Yeah. God needs your body. God needs your body. She has a book on that. God needs your body. You may be short on funds. You may be short on strength. You may be short on education. You may be short on resources. But if you're tall in faith, you can charge hell with a dry water pistol. God let somebody get a hold of this. According to the power, the dunamis, Acts 1:8, same word, same power. It's supernatural power that worketh in us. Most of us are so far beneath our privileges, we don't really have a clue how strong we are and how strong we can be. But we can start off tonight on the journey. Stop that stinking thinking. Stop that whining and complaining. Stop that poor old me. Amen. And start thinking like a giant killer. Start thinking like a river divider. Start thinking like the one that quenches fire. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Sholabokoria dalabaya. Halaboria kataria sikataya sai. Hallelujah. 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 You know what kind of power you got? You have ability, abundance, strength, supernatural strength, supernatural power. That dunamis power is ability, might, strength, substance, wealth. If God could reveal to Henry Krause on a brown paper sack with a little pencil a multi-million dollar plow invention, I'm not talking about getting rich overnight. I'm just talking about things being better. It's time for some things to turn around. I said it's time for things to turn around. We're headed for higher ground. Hallelujah. I said we're headed for higher ground. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Oh, I don't think you can handle any more tonight. I was gonna give you some more, but I just put your hand over you. Just say it out loud with me. I've got the power. I've got power I don't even understand. I have God power inside me on deposit right now. Right now. I receive that power. I'm capable of so much more. And I'm headed for it. I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Oh, la babe, shikata rakashakatai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kidabakatai. Kerabasai. Someone move this right back here. Move it out of the way. Watch it. I don't want to spill all my stuff. Leave me some water up here somewhere. Yeah. Sherabarakashakatai. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. Again, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, he cannot be defeated.
We cannot be defeated.
We've got the power.
I'll never forget the first night in Uganda. First time I went there,
This platform is luxury compared to the platform I preach from. Just a little, maybe a 2 4-by-8 pieces of plywood, kind of like our first platform in the post office building before we got one permanent. You can sit down if you want to. And I stood before that congregation of a few hundred people, and I began to shout it from the housetops, Jesus is Lord over Uganda. Jesus is Lord over Uganda. Uganda will have Christian television. Uganda will have Christian television station. My first trip is in 1995. They were still just coming out of the throes of the Idi Amin and Milton Bote, who was just as evil as the other one. They'd go out on the streets and load up the handicapped, put them in dump trucks, tell them they were taking them to the hospital, take them out to the Nile River and feed them with the crocs. Oh, yeah, yeah. That nation's been through a world of hurt. AIDS was on every hand. I mean, it was just epidemic. AIDS was epidemic. And I stood up and I said, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is Lord over Uganda. Now, every time I turn around, somebody's going to Uganda. But no, I'm not. I'm saying it for only one reason. It's because it's true. Lighthouse Television of Uganda was the gate opener to many ministries. Now, there was one ministry that was there when we got there, and they've flourished and done real well through the years. They were already there. They were Canadians, and I salute them. They've done a great job. But there wasn't much victory in Uganda. Not much victory. But we began to declare in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, a supernatural anointing of God came over my life. I'd gone there over threats of my own life. They said, I'd advise you that your life will not be safe in Uganda any longer. I talked to Joy and I said, Joy, should I go? She said, Bob, we've never accomplished anything through compromise. We've never accomplished anything unless we met it head on. She said, you go and I'll pray and you'll come home safe. And that's the woman of God God gave me in 1954. Powerful woman of God. Half her night, I hear her in the night season. She's praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Her spirit is red hot. Now every time I turn around, someone's going to Uganda. Orphanages are springing up. You wouldn't believe the churches. I mean, you know, you see what God's doing over in Africa. I mean, a church of 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000, and phew, it's overnight. It's not very pretty, but I mean, it's you got walls, and most of them have roofs on them. Some of them do. And Jesus is Lord over Uganda. The president of Uganda is in his, what, sixth five-year time. And the Muslims have done everything in the world to try to unseat him. They can't touch him. The president's born again. His wife is born again, spirit-filled. Their daughter is a pastor now of a church there in Kampala. Andrew Womack and his organization has gone in, and they've gone out to the border there and established a banking system with poverty-stricken people. Now they are beginning to prosper because they found out that out of 10 roosters, one belongs to God. Out of 10 cows, one belongs to God. Out of 10 eggs, one belongs to God. And they're putting God first. And God's changing that nation. We used to go to Uganda. Charlie called it to my attention. He said, you know, we'd go from the airport to Kampala, and all you would see would be coffins along the highway, about 30 miles, isn't it? 25, 30 miles. Coffins, because AIDS was on every hand. The president of Uganda came up with a brilliant idea to stop AIDS. You stop doing it. Some of you caught that, okay? You don't do that anymore. You handle your body like God said to handle it, or don't handle it. Okay, we'll leave that alone. But you know what? The president said, we're going to stomp out AIDS. And you can get in, land in Uganda on the way to Kampala. it's hard to find a coffin along the highway. Because instead of coffins, there's resurrection churches all over springing up. We're not the only ones, and we're not the only reason, but I'll tell you what, God's used this church. When we moved downtown in Fort Worth, downtown was sleepy town. Nobody slept downtown but winos who passed out with too much wine. Boards and plywood covered any reputable establishment, Leonard Brothers, washers, striplings, you could just name it one by one, those that have been in this area for years. And we began to pray prosperity into America. Now, I don't believe in everything that goes on downtown Fort Worth, but there's a church at 5th and Penn Street that prayed prosperity into downtown Fort Worth. And now I think it's some 6,000 or 7,000 people live downtown. And at one time, you couldn't find anybody living, well, unless they were in a hotel, the Westbrook Hotel, and there was the Texas Hotel. I think there were 1, 2, or 3, but that was about it. That was just about it, except for the flop houses downtown in the red light district. But there was a church that moved downtown and began to pray over downtown Fort Worth. And I claim credit as being the pastor of a church that thanked God at 5:42 in the morning, began to pray over this city, and prosperity now overwhelms downtown, and also depravity. That's why we need revival, okay? Never forget those early morning prayer meetings. You know, if you need to go, I do. I'm not going to hold you a long time, but there's an anointing in this room. This church has had a greater part in this city than people realize. Head of the Southern Baptist Convention, I had a funeral with him a few years ago, and he said, you know, Pastor Bob, he said, Calvary Cathedral International, the revival you had in 1993 forced the issue of revival on the greater Fort Worth Metroplex area. Hallelujah. And honey, we're back in town. We were downtown, now we're uptown. Sunday, we're going to celebrate 23 years of the Power Tower. 23 years. When we started a 24/7 prayer tower, there was not, we checked it out. There was not one ministry in the greater Fort Worth. There might have been somewhere in Dallas, but there was not one in the greater Fort Worth area. Not one, not of any major ministry. Now everybody's got a prayer ministry, and praise God for it. Thank God for it. Amen. Go for it. Amen. But I'm telling you, there was a church that for 23 years has called on God. And when prayer goes up, God comes down. Hallelujah. We've been through the water. We've been through the fire. We've been through a lot of crazies. But I tell you, we're back in town, honey. We're back uptown. And the power of God is still in this house. Praise God. And the best is yet to come. We've seen downtown Fort Worth changed, and it needs to change again more righteously. We understand that. We've seen Uganda change. The president of Uganda, and he's a powerful guy. I mean, he is a strong man. They started hijacking cars over there. I love his way of thinking. He said, when you catch a car hijacker, kill him on the street. So they had a major car hijacking. Their police ran over 3 people chasing the carjackers down. They caught them and killed every one of them in the street, and carjacking stopped overnight. Carjacking stopped overnight. I don't know where it is right now, but I know what happened then. But that president shook my hand. He said, you tell the people of Calvary Cathedral, you tell your people, thank you for Lighthouse Television. Said the influence that you've had here in Uganda has helped us turn this nation around. Turn this nation around. That's big stuff when you're standing behind all kind of security guards and one of the most powerful men in the nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. And I prophesy and I say, all God needs is 300 people that believe God with all their heart. All God needs is 300 faith people, fearless people, giving people, praying people, full of faith people. All God needs is people that know who their company is and hang tough and stay in here, and we're going to see this thing shaking again. We're in the process of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come here, Pam. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, along with those that stand with Pam, praise God. Lori, come up here and stand with us. Come on, Judy. Come up here. Come here. She had a bokora kasa. She caught up. Just lay your hand on her shoulder there. Father, in the name of Jesus. Where's Ashley? Is Ashley? Where's Ashley? She's with you. I know where she is. Okay. In the name of Jesus. Pam, the Spirit of God's coming on you right now in a supernatural way. The Spirit of God is coming on you and filled with the fire of God. Shila baba kataya katai. Sholabaraba katai. Shila baba kataya katai. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to say what Benny Hinn said. Pick her up, brothers. Pick her up, brothers, and put her back in the chair. Hallelujah. Come on. Yato border. Pick her up. Put her back. Phil! Pick her up, brothers. Pick her up, brothers. Pick her up, brother. Be careful with her now. Phil! Oh, Rabakara Kashi Katayato. Oh, Labarekara Kasha Katayato. Oh, special anointing, Pam. Receive it now. Oh, the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God is on you and every one of those ladies in that retreat. No worries, no worries, no worries. No fear, no fear here. No lack, no lack. No problems. Woo! It is well. Okay, brothers, pick her up again. Pick her up. Pick her up. Put her in the chair. I'll leave her alone for a minute. Now help her. Be kind. Be kind. Be easy with her now. Yeah, that boy. Take her to her seat over there. Yeah, that boy. That all right. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just lay your hand on her, Dr. Vaughn. Hey, filled, filled, filled. Oh, let the joy of the Lord roll tonight. Come on, let the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now you know what time Mama said for you to be home, so that's between you and Mama. But I'm going to pray. Now, the only way we can do it right now, the way it is, just like we've been doing in the impartation, I want you guys to stay close with me. Stay close with me. Come on. I need some of you guys. Come on. Come on. Just be right here close to me. Amen. Praise God. Pull that chair up behind me. Pull that chair up behind me. Riba kora kasai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little bit more. God, thank God. Move it out a little bit more, brothers. Just don't push me over the hill. Oh. All right, now just stand with you. All right.